You got a clap, Morgan?
Say again.
You got a clap, mate?
Oh, that's awful. That was awful.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 104 of Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith, that's me, and my good friend Morgan Richards, aka Mo Dick, aka the Big MD, aka... I don't know, I couldn't think of any more. Here we are.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. This is our second year anniversary birthday special episode. And to celebrate, we've got a gracious guest that's always a present for everyone.
Morgan, I see you.
Yes, you do, Sean.
There yes, you go.
Do.
Yes, this week's guest is former guest. He's been on twice before, technically twice before. He's been a favourite of mine since I've ever met him, let alone just being a guest. He's brilliant at that as well. This week's guest is the beautiful human that is Charlie Simpson.
Yes, one of our favourite people of all time, the wonderful Charlie Simpson, a guy who's inspired a whole generation of music listeners with all his projects from Busted, Fight Star, and his solo stuff, is making his third appearance on the podcast to celebrate all this wacky achievements with us and just to have a laugh. He's released his first new piece of solo material in 4 years, so we thought, why not get him back on? We can just relax, talk about everything, and have a bloody good time.
And a bloody good time we did have indeed. So, thanks again to Charlie for replying to my text and then giving us the time to sort out this podcast this week. It means the absolute world to us. What a blessing. I love that because he's been on before that we don't have to, you know, do the old rigmarole of this is what it's about and all this. Like, he just gets it. We sat down, we had a laugh. He showed us his... I got to finish that sentence. Studio and his long hair. He showed us, he whipped his long hair out. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. But yeah, it was super good to see him. Super good to catch up with him. And his new song, I See You, is very, 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 very good indeed.
Yes, it is. It's an incredible, incredible track. And if you're listening to Sapnin Podcast for the first time, both myself and Sean have known Charlie for a number of years in different roles. I've interviewed him loads of times as a journalist myself. Sean's toured with him back in the Blackout and Fight Star days. And yeah, he's just coming back on to have a lovely chat about some secrets about his career. We find out some things that we didn't get to talk about last time around on his full episode, on episode 19. And yeah, just get all the latest on his new single. He's launched his own record label, built his own home studio. So it's going to be a whale of a time to celebrate this second year anniversary.
Yeah, if you've got any questions or you'd like to suggest a guest for the future or just get in contact with us, please check us out at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram. That's at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD.
But Sean, never mind all that for a second. Happy anniversary, brother. It's us 2 years.
Yes.
2 years, you and me.
Yes, it is.
We've made it this far.
That's mad, isn't it? That is mad. That is absolutely bonkers. Who'd have thought we would have got this far? Who'd have thought we would have had some of the guests we've had on? Some of the guests we got coming up are unbelievable as well. It's just incredible, really. I can't believe that we've... You would have thought somebody would have come along by now and gone, stop doing that, boys, for God's sake. You would have thought, like, Acast or Spotify or whatever you get your podcast from would have got in touch with us and be like, boys, come on now, grow up, will you?
Yeah.
Stop trying to live your dream of talking to people you like.
But no, I know we get some, I know we have some sappy moments and we get a bit wholesome and emo on this podcast because, you know, that's what it's for. But honestly, like, I can still remember vividly the day that we launched this and the first episode coming out and being extremely nervous and excited, and to think that was 2 years ago now and all the experiences we've been lucky enough to have from doing this podcast, from just the relationships with guests to creating a whole Patreon community and just everything that's come along with that is absolutely beautiful. So thank you to every single one of you who's helped us get this far and supported us along the way. Honest to God, you don't believe how much it means. It is a lot. But Sean, I had a quick look online earlier, and apparently, I don't want to say we're a married couple, because technically, legally, we're not. We didn't get married on one of those festival
Hurry up episodes. And finish this. What are you saying?
for a second year anniversary, you're supposed to get cotton, apparently, is the gift of choice. So is there anything cotton you'd like me to get you? I apart from socks, I can't think of anything.
No, not cotton, mind. Second year anniversary is cotton. It's pants or socks, isn't it? It's like, yeah. Some socks would be nice, yeah.
Okay.
I'd like a bat or a sapling bandana.
Yeah, we could launch some sapling socks. Well, we haven't got any planned. I don't know why I was saying it that way. Is it worth it?
Socking in. No, nobody cares. nobody cares. If you've got any wacky merch ideas, get in touch with us at the address that I read out earlier by mistake. Just to go on from what you said, like, the fact it's been 2 years is absolutely insane. And you talked about launching the Patreon and stuff. I remember distinctly being in Swansea on the Kingsway at my friend Charles's barber shop.
Yeah.
You know, we were discussing stuff we should do for the Patreon, and we were like, I don't think this is ever going to take off. I don't think anybody will ever join this. And the fact that people have, and I've made such an amazing community, it's just it's genuinely fucking mind-blowing. Like, I know I say it every week, and it's got to be annoying. I'm sorry, but I love this group. This group has done more for each other and myself and themselves than I ever could imagine they would have ever have done. Like, I'm seeing a community come together and love each other more than anything I saw with some of the blackout stuff. Like, and the blackout was, I hate to say it, probably way bigger than we currently are as a podcast. But just seeing all those people come together and fucking look after each other and love each other has been it's been the best part of this.
Yeah.
I can't deny that. Don't get me wrong, getting to see and chat with some of these people has been amazing. Get to reconnect with old friends has been amazing. But my one thing to take away from this is the unbelievable quality of people in the Patreon group. So thank you very much. If you've been a Patreon, if you are a Patreon, if you're considering being a Patreon, do it. Come on.
Yeah.
It'll be a laugh, man.
Yeah, we don't mean to go on with everything, but we have to say, because it just means that much to us. But if you've enjoyed any of these episodes over the last 2 years or experienced some new secrets into the music industry, then why not check out patreon.com/sapnin. As Sean mentioned, there's a whole community of lovely, lovely bastards who have helped each other out, helped ourselves out, and we wouldn't be able to get to an anniversary like this if it wasn't for them. And this is loads of goodies and stuff. If you're listening to this on release, then on Saturday, the 21st of November. We're going to be doing a whole celebration with them and a gigantic Zoom call with his. There's talks about not only a Q&A session with both myself and Sean, but a load of games and a quiz, which there could be a prize. We haven't decided on that yet. But if you want to get involved with everything, patreon.com/sapnin. But shall we just celebrate this in style now, Sean? Because we thought the best possible way to mark 2 years is to have a guest who's been one of our favourite humans, who's been one of the most requested before his first appearance. And we're just going to have a jolly good time of learning secrets about every single thing he's ever done.
Yes. Again, this week's guest is the fantastic Charlie Simpson. I suggest after this going and checking out ICU, the video, and ICU, the acoustic version, because they're both brilliant. But other than that, let's take it away. Let's get into this. What a laugh. I remember nearly falling off my chair laughing at one point and crying laughing. So thanks again to Charlie. Thank you to Morgan for being my friend for 2 years, or putting up with me for 2 years. I know it's been a struggle. But we've managed it so far. Let's hope we get at least another 6 months out of it. Fucking something!
Something!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sapnin! Yes! Yes! You are listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. This is episode 104. This is our second birthday anniversary special with one of our favourite guests, if not favourite people of all time. Mm-hmm. One of your favourite people as well, apparently, according to all the comments we get about his lovely face and voice. Ladies and gentlemen, this week's guest is the absolutely beautiful Charlie Simpson.
Yes. Hello. Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Oh. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sapnin. Happy birthday to you.
Wow. Thank you very much. That concludes the birthday episode. Thank you very much, Charlie. Imagine that. Imagine that was all of it. That was fucking brilliant. Charlie, wow. Thank you. Yes. How are you?
Yeah, very good. I mean, what a changing world it's been since I was last on the show.
Mm. Yes, well, yeah, very much so.
It's lovely to see you again. I mean, it's unfortunate it's through a computer, But yeah, your third appearance on Sapmin. So thanks for taking the time and celebrating with us.
Mate, love it. Absolutely. Always a big fan of you guys. So thanks for having me back on, man.
No, pleasure. I've got to start, though, by saying, obviously, the first time you were on was backstage at a Busted show. We talked really in depth about your whole career and everything. But the second time you came on was backstage at Slam Dunk, and you called us all cunts. So I'm excited to see what version of Charlie... this is going to happen on this time.
I you know what, the slam dunk, I'd had a few tipples that day, and I got to be honest, I don't really remember being what I said, but yeah, no, I'm pretty chilled this evening. I think I was in party mode that day.
That was actually
a really fun day.
Yeah.
Well, it was a brilliant day. It was an absolutely brilliant day. I remember us previously saying to you at the Busted show, oh, you should get Busted to play Slam Dunk or something like that. And you were, just looked me dead in the face and was like, yeah, I don't know. And then months later, we're in Slam Dunk. I'm like, I wonder who the secret band is today. And then all of a sudden, we're in the press tent and I see fucking Charlie coming over, looking a little bit shiny in the eyes. And he comes over, big hug, big kiss. It only turns out they fucking smashed Slam Dunk, like was absolutely expected. Yeah.
Oh, mate, it was nuts that day.
What a good day for you. Yeah, it must have been... What was that feeling like?
The funny thing is, you know, but we Busted never would have played Slam Dunk however many years ago. I mean, how old is Slam Dunk now? Busted is older than Slam Dunk, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, but had it been around, you know, that sort of Warped Tour-esque lineup, then we never would have played it, and I don't think it would have gone down particularly well back in the day. But literally, you couldn't get in the tent this time, and you know, similar thing happened at Glastonbury. So, it's a lovely sort of turn of events now for people to be like, you know, really enjoying it, and I feel like there's some real love out there for that. So, no, it's great. It was great fun, and then got absolutely smashed afterwards.
yes, I think we all did. What a great day. Well, no, you, Morg, not yeah. Straight Edge Morgan.
I mean, how are you Straight Edge Morgan?
Yeah,
I did know that.
Drank anything, I've never taken any sort of drugs apart from, like, you know, Calpol or
so. I mean, well, that would be just fascinating, just for science, just one day to get you absolutely plastered and just see what happens, just film you. That could be a Sapmin. That could be my next Sapmin appearance. Can we do that, please?
Drunk. I don't think anyone wants to hear what would come out of my mouth if I was drunk on this.
Oh, good lord.
Oh,
no.
My God. I'm scared thinking about this now. Oh my.
Well, we had Simon Neil on a couple of weeks ago. And if you listen to the intro and outro of that podcast, Morgan literally spends all of the intro and outro masturbating over Simon.
No, like,
he's so gorgeous.
He's a good looking man.
He's a lovely man.
He is a lovely man as well. But yeah, let's talk about life. What have you been like, apart from the music, which we will get to?
Yes.
What else have you been up to?
I mean, basically, my main thing that has happened over the last 8 months, I've built a brand new recording studio, which I'm super pumped about. I got to about February this year, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go and record my solo stuff, which I was super excited about. I've been writing for the last, you know, few months. And suddenly lockdown happened. I was like, fuck, you know, I'm not going to be able to record anything, which is going to sort of delay the whole process. And obviously, you know, COVID was, you know, a shit situation. So, you know, everyone had to deal with it. But I was like, what way can I sort of make the best of the situation? And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to sort of do the thing I'd always dreamt about and build a full-blown recording studio. So I've, like, literally built a space, live drum room, proper, you know, audience mixing desk, the whole shebang. I've never got to set foot in a commercial studio ever again. And and it's like, and it's great, man. And now I'm sort of self-producing my stuff, which is something I've always wanted to do as well. So it's been crazy, man. Like, if I'd like a year ago, if I'd said to myself I was going to be where I am now with regards to the amount that's happened. I wouldn't have believed you. So yeah, it's been a crazy ride, but I'm really really happy with how it's all turned out. Obviously the situation has been awful for the world, but you know, if you've got to try and look for positives and things, and it did give me the time to do that. So it's just been a weird time, man. Like, the music industry basically has just been put on hold, the world's been put on hold, but everyone's sort of got to try and find the positives in every situation. So I'm sure there's other stories of people doing things they wouldn't have done had this not happened, you know?
Yeah, but that's crazy to see that, you know, straight away your first reaction was like, well, fuck it, I'll build my own studio. I mean,
yeah.
Was it a long thought process, or was it just something?
No, it took about 5 minutes. I was like, fuck you, COVID. it's honestly, the thing is, it's something that I thought about doing for a long time, but there's so much planning that goes into building a studio, and also a lot of knowledge that I sort of wanted to acquire, because I started basically recording post 2000, when everyone was recording with computers, and I really wanted to sort of learn the analog way, and so I bought this desk, and I've just learned so much more in about recording in the last 8 months than I have in the last 20 years. And so that's been an incredible, I've spent sort of 15 hours a day just doing research and all sorts of stuff. And it's funny because everything that this is going to get a bit techie and boring for some people listening, but like everything that computers do, when you open a door interface, like with Pro Tools, Logic, whatever, everything it does is a representation of the analog world. And because I learned the digital stuff first, it was like, oh my god, everything made more sense to me. Do you know what I mean? Like routing, yeah, all the signals and stuff. So I feel like I've learned so much more, and that's just put me in really good stead to be able to sort of, I guess it's just taking control of everything myself. And I thought to myself, oh, I can't make an album because I'm relying on other people to make it. And it's nice to think, do you know what, I'm going to learn how to make it myself, so I can just only have myself to depend on. So it's been great.
Yeah, I suppose over the years as well, with all your projects, you've been in so many different kind of studios and worked with some incredible producers. So all the knowledge you've kind of collected off all those experiences over the years was just perfect for this.
This is the thing, man. Like, you'd think that, yes, but we fucking spent most of our time in studios playing PlayStation. So it's like, the amount of times I could have drunk the knowledge from some of the greatest minds in music. Mm. I could have sapped it all up, and we would just. Obviously we paid attention to the music we were making, but I never really focused on the technical side because they did it all. And now I look back to myself now and think, my God, I used to look in recording studios and look at all the gear and think, what does this magical device do? It's like compressors. And now I'm looking at studio photos.
What
thinking,
does this noise make? Yeah. Oh my God, what does this do?
Yeah. And now I know what it all does. And so it's, I kind of want to go back now and just literally be like, actually pay attention. It's been really good, man. And actually, when I work with producers again, I'll be really annoyed. I'll be sat next to me like, so what are you going to do here? What are you going to do there? We're like, fuck off, mate. Just gonna sit over there.
So you mentioned, you mentioned you were writing songs previous to COVID. Did you have any plans to go in and record them? And did you have any producers in mind, or was it just demo-y?
Yeah, it was definitely demo-y. I had, as a guy I've been working with called Martin Luke Brown, who I wrote a couple of songs with, and he's sort of writer producer, and the way it ended up happening was that I sent some stuff to him, and we basically, before I built the studio, we basically started mailing stuff to each other. Well, not physically mailing. I mean, it was not the postal service. It was like emailing. And then we sort of went back and forth that way. So yeah, but I mean, to be honest, like, I'd spent a lot of time writing, and I knew that with my new stuff, I knew that I just wanted to sort of strip everything back. And my last solo incarnation was very sort of bandy, and I feel like this time I wanted it just to make myself as uncomfortable as possible, myself just there's nothing to hide behind when it's just a piano and a vocal or just a guitar. Do you know what I mean? It's just I wanted to make myself feel vulnerable, and I think that was kind of a cool way to go at it, you know?
Yeah, well, I see you. I was telling Morgan earlier, I watched the video again this morning, and I nearly cried.
Oh, so, thanks, mate. That's a good reaction.
I haven't finished my sentence yet. So I watched the video, and I started crying, right? And I was like, why is Charlie making this shit? No,
Sean.
No, I was genuinely watching it, and I was like, why am I... Why am I think I'm tearing up here. Mate, and it was just... It was such a moment for me.
That's really lovely. And I, you know, when people say that, I feel like that's because I played a new song to my wife's parents just yesterday, and I looked over and like my wife and my parents-in-law were all sort of crying, and I was like, that's an amazingly powerful reaction to get, and so no, that's really awesome. And the video is another thing that I wanted because it's just my face. I watched it back and I thought this is kind of weird, and my wife said to me, it's kind of weird, like, it's kind of uncomfortable. She really liked it, but it's kind of uncomfortable because you just don't see videos like that when it's just someone's face. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so I kind of, again, wanted to sort of strip away some of the, you know, we live in such a clickbait Instagram world where everything's got to be, like, fully filtered and, you know, in your face and loads of colours. And I thought, what about if it's just not that at all? And so that was kind of the premise behind the video.
Mm. Yeah, it's awesome. It worked very, very well. And, yeah, the song is awesome.
Thank you, mate.
Really good. Yeah, my genuine opinion is, yeah, some of your best work to date. I think I love it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I'm really sort of, it's, as I say, it's like I'm proud of it, 'cause it's just I just wanted to sort of strip it all bare, and I think that it just allowed me to really focus on the song and not really, it's not about adding loads of layers, you know what I mean? It's just about, you know, is the song moving me? Is it resonating? And I think that's just a nice way to go at making music in general, really.
Well, I was going to say, obviously, this is your first new solo material in 4 years since you got back together with Busted and everything. I mean, writing these songs, is it just being ideas for solo stuff you've had for quite some time now and kind of revisiting them, or is it just being over the last kind of 12-13 months just sitting down and really wanting to write something for a new Charlie Simpson solo album?
Definitely, because we decided after the second Busted record, well, the fourth Busted record, but the second one since we were back, we said we would take a break because we always thought we'd keep, you know, doing our other stuff, and you know, everyone had sort of projects that they wanted to do, and I always thought that the next thing I would do would be another solo incarnation. And so yeah, I started writing about 18 months ago, and I've got about 20 songs, but it was sort of an evolution process, and I've never really had the time to do that. You know, everyone says like, oh yeah, I wrote like 20-30 songs, and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, but did you? I mean, is that I mean, it's like Linkin Park said they wrote like 50 songs or 100 songs. I was like, how would you have the time to write that many songs?
It's 88 too many.
Oh, exactly. So but I mean, it is nice to actually have the time to write loads of stuff. And also, you know what, it's living with it. I mean, so much of the time I'll write something and then come back to it for 3 months later, and I'll either like it, whereas maybe I didn't like it when I wrote it and then love it, or thought I loved it at the time and then end up not liking it. And that time in between is really important, because otherwise you're going to record it, put it out, and then like when it's out, think, oh, fuck, I don't like it. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I think it's good to have time to breathe and have time to also come back and change stuff. So, no, I think it was nice to actually have the time to do that. And, you know, now it's cool because I've got my studio. I can just demo stuff up and then leave it and come back to it. So I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped for the future, guys.
Nice. Are you will you be producing any other band stuff from
you know what? I would like to do that. I don't know if I'd be confident enough to take on a whole project by myself yet, but I reckon within about a year then I would. So yeah, definitely. Shop door's gonna be open, mate. I'm gonna be scouting new talent. But I'm also I'm putting this out through my own label. So that's another cool thing that I decided to do, and something that could be really fun later on down the line is to you know, to produce other people and put other people out. Be cool.
Well, yeah. How did that come about? What was the idea? Were you just...
Well, basically, like COVID did shift that dial, because we were talking to some labels, and I just felt like it's such an uncertain time. It's such an uncertain period, and you know, I didn't know when I was going to be able to tour again. And I thought the best way is just to sort of take it all in house and really just put it up for streaming and sort of do it in a much more organic D2C way, you know, rather than, you know, a big splash early on. So I think this is very much just, we're going to release songs as and when, and and just sort of build it that way. But I feel like it's just a really lovely experience to, you know, sit around with a team and not be sort of beholden to anyone else. You haven't got an NR guy coming and going, so, you know, where's the radio single? You know? all that kind of shit. So it's nice, man. I sort of get to A&R it myself with my manager, and it's really fucking cool. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, nice. Well, I wanted to bring up the record label quite a bit, because obviously you've been signed to so many different kind of deals and labels and stuff over your career, but I'm sure a lot of music fans will hear you've started a label and just imagine that, you know, what, has he got some mad building for, he's employing all these people and stuff? I mean, what does you creating a record label actually mean for you as an artist?
So yes, that's actually a really good question, Morgan, because, you know, that it's not like creating a label now is very accessible for many people to do, and it's like basically you have, because you have these label services companies, they will effectively, you will employ them, and they are the building, they are the sort of pre-made sort of, what's the word, distribution channel. They're like, you know, they're like the arm, the physical arm of the label that you create. So they'll take care of manufacturing CDs. I mean, who's fucking going to buy them anymore? But you know, they will sort of deal with the distribution. They will coordinate marketing and all the rest of it. So you don't. The main thing with starting your own label and doing it this way is to own the master. You know, owning a master is the currency of the music industry now. You know, that's what you want to retain. And I feel like a lot of bands have gone this way. You know, even look at someone like Stormzy, who could have signed to a major label and chose not to. And there's lots of people, and Shikari a long time ago went their own way. And I feel like just a way of retaining control. And the main asset in music now is the master. So that's one thing. And also, you know, creative control, obviously, is something that is very important to me. So, yeah, in answer to your question, I have a company, a distribution company, that I have sort of set up a partnership with, and they're fantastic, and they deal with a lot of the logistics. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, everything else is pretty much done by me.
Nice. Nice. Do you worry, though, sometimes now that you're going to be so invested in everything and having the studio that you're just going to be like locked away and just demoing ideas and working plans out for days on end?
My wife would agree with you. Like, see, it is tough. Yeah. And also, you know, work can become all consuming, and especially in lockdown, because there's nowhere else to go. So it's like, you know, I have been working long, long hours, but that's kind of cool. You know, you've got to put the grind in to get the results. So you've got to have a work-life balance. So, you know, I've got two little boys here that I want to see, and, you know, spend time with them as well. So you've got to get the balance right. But it's difficult when you do something you love, you know, because you immerse yourself in it, and it's not like you have to be there. You'd want to be there anyway. So it's like, it's different to a normal job where you, like, you're going to work, but you're sort of counting the hours till you want to leave. I love doing this. So do you know what I mean? I mean, you guys must feel the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've spent many a day just working on bloody stuff, and then it's like midnight, and I'm like, oh, I should probably go to bed soon. Do you know what I mean? I totally feel you on that. But speaking of the label as well, does this mean now that, like, eventually, maybe down the line, that you're going to be looking at other artists to sign and scouting some young talent out?
Yes, definitely. I think that I'm going to focus my energy at the moment on my own stuff. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, I definitely would. There's actually a girl I got sent the demo of from a friend of ours who I thought was amazing. And yeah, I mean, I would totally be up for, if people, you know, what I should do is I should get some sort of email address going, and then so people can send stuff in.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, you do find some amazing stuff, and it would be great to be able to take on a young artist and impart a bit of my, you know, whatever you call it, wisdom,
knowledge, and
do that. That'd be really fun. And also because I've got the studio now, I have that opportunity to be able to do that. So yeah, man, it's very much watch this space, but I think that I'm definitely open to it.
Nice. Well, this comes out Friday. Your acoustic version of ICU will have been out by now as yes. well, so people should definitely go and check that out.
They should,
as well.
And that's my first full production credit. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, no, I did that start to finish. So you're gonna be listening. I think you might want to hear the difference. This one's probably rubbish.
Not at all. I can't wait.
So that's kind of cool, and it's a different. I took a bit of a different spin on the song, and. Yeah, I really like this version, actually. It's really I just love it all, nice. Mate. Yeah.
But great. Yeah, just about ICU. I was just like, when you were saying how stripped back it is, and I was like, well, yeah, it's just piano, you know, your voice, and I think your voice is sounding as good as it ever has, and it's matured beautifully, and I think you're
thank you, mate.
You're killing it.
It's just funny, like I feel like when I listen back to myself like 20 years ago now, I get really annoyed when I listen to myself, because I'm like, I just sound so whiny, and like I sort of learned to sing properly throughout my career, and it's like, it's because I started so young, you know. I started doing busking when I was 16, and I came straight out of school, and I feel like I sort of learnt to sing. Do you know what I mean? I learnt how to actually use my voice. It sounds so wanky, but use it more as an instrument. And I feel like I'm definitely more confident singing now than I ever was before.
Yeah. Well, how have you kind of developed it and looked after your voice over the years? Because obviously,
I haven't at all, mate. Are you fucking joking?
No, but I mean, but like listening to all the projects, I mean, obviously, like, you know, from Busted and then all the screams of Fight Star, and then with your solo stuff, you've tried different. Like techniques and stuff over the years. So I mean, you must have had something to like kind of help shape that, or just look
Jager,
after the pipe.
Mate. Just Jägermeister. I've never really developed technique. I did learn to develop a technique to scream with Fight Star. Sean, you must have had this. Like, because if you scream, because people ask me, how do you scream and it not hurt your voice? And obviously, when I scream, I'm not actually screaming loud. It's all about the getting the right rasp and the right tone. And you actually let the microphone do the work. There's no way I could have done that every single night and preserved my voice. You know, I would have got issues. So, yeah, I mean, that was something I had to learn. But with regards to actually singing, it was sort of trial and error, I guess. But yeah, I mean, you just learn. I don't know. I mean, I've never really thought about it, but I just know that I just know in my head what, when I go up to the mic, know what I need to do to get what I'm trying to accomplish. You know.
Okay.
Nice. Have you had the inkling to do any more screaming lately? Is there any...
Do you know what? My 7-string is just staring at me on the wall. And
yes.
Yeah, it is. It is. I definitely get the urges sometimes to pick up the guitar. There might be a little a project in the works with someone else, which might be quite fun. Yeah, I can't tell you too much, but there might be a little project in the works with something in that vein. So bit of a watch this space. So but I mean, as I say, I definitely get the urge to do it, and I love just writing riffs and doing all that thing. And to be honest, that's been a long time. I mean, when did the last Fight Star album come out? It came out in 2014 or 2015, was it?
14.
And I think that was my favourite Fight Star record. So no, I'm definitely keen to do some more of that. It's kind of funny though, isn't it? Because like, I feel like I've been so lucky to have a fan base that sort of tolerates my different minds. You know what I mean? Because it's like someone that got into my music from ICU would put on Deathcore and be like, what the fuck is this? You know what I mean? And vice versa. But I feel like when I See You came out, what I was so humbled by, and I genuinely mean this from the bottom of my heart, was just everyone was, whether, you know, maybe someone was saying, oh, I'd love another Fight Star record or whatever, but everyone was just genuinely felt happy for me. And that was just a really lovely feeling. And something that I really genuinely am grateful for, because my tastes are quite eclectic and I, you know, I've got different projects that all sound pretty different. So, you know, I'm just really, really humble, really, that, you know, people let me do that.
Yeah. Well, I think with that, though, like, you, with all the different projects, you've been able to connect a lot of people that might have not necessarily had those interests, because a lot of those fans have grown up with you as well, because they might have been really young, like when Busted started, and seeing you just go from all these projects and follow your career. So I'm sure when you get a chance to look back at like a fan base like yours, it's just quite refreshing to see that they are open to all these different styles.
Yeah. But also, you know what? I was chatting to someone the other day. I think the also, especially with rock music, the lines between genres are so blurred now. Do you know what I mean? Like, remember when Blackout first came out and Firestarter first came out? It was all very sort of, you know, what's the word? It was very clicky and insular, and you know, each subgenre division of subgenre, it was sort of its own little clique. And you know, you just like, I listened to the Machine Gun Kelly record the other day, which I love, by the way. Yeah. That was absolutely awesome record. Awesome. And there's one song where you're doing the pop punk thing, it's fucking great, and then it goes goes like trappy, and I'm like, how can you do that? How can you get away with that? Because I'm telling you, man, 10 years ago, you'd have been absolutely rinsed for doing that.
Yeah,
and
literally.
I love the fact he can. And like, you know, look at Bring Me the Horizon. Lots of different bands are you know, blurring the lines between genres, and I think that's that's only a positive thing, man. I'm really glad about that, and I'm glad that the snobbiness in the rock genre is has come down a bit, you know, and people can, like, you know, you want to like Bieber, then great, Bieber's got some great songs, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. it's fine.
But I was just thinking about that. I know when you mentioned, like, yeah, through all the bands you've been through, yeah, you probably have one of the most supportive audiences I've ever come across, really.
I think
because, and the amount of time, the amount of projects is spanned, yeah, that's incredible. So yeah, if you're a Charlie fan and you're listening to this, fucking well done to you.
Well done to you, sir.
You're excellent. Part of some of the best fans in the world. Nice.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh, so the real question is then, when's your rap album due?
This is it, mate. I think it's probably a genre I will not frequent.
yeah.
I'd say
third anniversary podcast. That long hair that people can't see because this is a podcast, that's going to be in braids. Yeah, we know it. Tattoos all over the face. Yes.
Oh. Yeah, man. I mean, I can't see it personally. I think I'll probably, maybe. I mean, yeah, who knows, mate? I mean, look, never say never. That's what I say.
I like the way you went, you started out going, no, I can't see it happening. And then we brought it up and you went, no.
Well,
could I see it happening?
Yeah, I can send him a band camp Friday and you make all the money off the one song. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Well, thing is, you know, you've got the support. You could literally go and do that, and I think Charlie Simpson fans would follow you along to see how
well,
it goes.
Well, there probably is a limit. There probably is a limit. We'll see.
That's good.
Yeah, but speaking of your hair, I mean, it's the longest, you've told us before we were recording, it's the longest it's ever been.
It is. I mean, it's properly, I've got it in a man bun now, and I wanted to do something I hadn't done before, and obviously lockdown helped with that, but I kind of like it. I always wanted to do it, and I just never did, and it's quite liberating.
I've never grown a mullet up until this lockdown now, where I was like...
Have you cut it? When's the last time you cut it?
Probably about 2 months ago. It's just the guy just shaves the sides. Literally, I'm growing this. Look, that's the longest his hair.
Mate, it's got some proper 80s action going on.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna look like a Renault Megane by the end of this. It's gonna have a awesome. Big back end on it. It's gonna be ridiculous.
And then Morgan, yours is looking very manly, isn't it?
Oh, thank you. Well, I haven't had mine cut in quite a while. The only thing, a couple of years ago, I stupidly got an undercut. So, I mean, it looks nice when it's fresh, but then you get that under bloody...
Oh, you get that, gross. Yes. Oh, it's a tennis ball effect.
Yeah, and then like, you've got to go to, like, you got to see someone every couple of months to sort that out. So I've had a couple of thoughts of maybe, like, should I just, like... Go
have you
short.
Ever shaved it? Have you ever shaved it?
No, like, no. I've had the thought of going, like, a short, like, really short hair or something, but I just don't think it'd suit me.
Fucking
I don't know.
Get it off. Fucking get it off.
Nah, you're right.
That's
you're
the other thing we're doing. We're doing one's happening. We're getting you tequila shots and shaving your head.
we'll get him so pissed that he shaves his own head. Oh, that'd be so
my
good.
God.
Sponsored by Jaeger. Let's get that out of the way now. Yeah.
The thing is, though, like, I'd wake up the next morning. I imagine I wouldn't have a clue what's happened, go to the mirror and then just freak out.
Yeah.
And I'd have all the audio recordings to edit from everything that happened.
Oh, imagine editing that on a hangover, going, why did I do this? Fuck this shit. But awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of the heavy vibes as well, I think like this year is actually the 15th year anniversary of Fight Star, if I'm not mistaken.
Someone said that. I actually do think you are mistaken, Morgan, because I think it came out in 2006. And I saw that. You need a researcher on the show, mate.
He's fucking fired. I'm not having it.
I think it was March 2006. Could be wrong. I don't know. So I think it was March 2006.
Okay. Nearly
15 years.
I mean, you had the songs ready before that, so technically I'm right.
Yes, technically you're right.
Oh, fuck off. What are we on? Are we on about Grand Unification, March 13th, 2006?
Aha! So I don't know who started this 15-year rumour, but to be honest, we are nearly in 2021, so you're not so far off.
It's 4 months till the actual...
All right, let me rephrase that then. Your 15th year anniversary of Fightstar is coming up.
It is coming up. Guys, isn't editing good?
Yeah, you're going to leave that bit in now, so if he does edit it, that'd be so good.
That is absolutely mental, man. Like, it makes me feel... like an old bastard, really.
It's bonkers, isn't it? It's mad how quick it's going, really.
It is. And it just feels like a different life, man. Like, it feels... And I think because the music industry has changed so much, you know, it's just... I've sort of really mellowed on that, because there was a time when I... sort of fighting against the change of the music industry and like, you know, everything going to streaming and all that stuff. But I've fully embraced it now, and I think it's really good, and... I feel like we're out the other side of it. But do you know what I mean? Like, you know, sort of, it was such a different time, wasn't it? Everything was so different. And I feel like now I'm sort of come to terms with the fact it'll never be like that again. And that's totally cool. And I'm sort of embracing the new way. And I'm a good place now.
Yeah, I was the same as well. Well, I remember when the Blackout split up, I was just so angry at every other band for carrying on. I was just like,
really?
What the fuck? These cheeky bastards, what are they doing? Like, what?
What's the chance of a Blackout reunion show? Is there rumblings in the Bronx about it?
the dirty south of Wales. In the dirty south Wales. We got approached by a major promoter about doing some shows next year.
Oh, 2021 or this year?
Yeah, 2021.
Yeah, great.
But I don't. Definitely not while there's a virus out there. We're definitely not doing it while a virus is out there. But again, I tell you what, I will guarantee the Blackout will come back next summer if the support will be Charlie Simpson's rap project.
Okay, fine. I like that. Give me something to work towards.
Yeah, you could do that in a night. You've got this big fancy studio now. You could literally make a rap album in a night. I've never been against the Blackout. I never wanted the Blackout to stop. I was the only one that didn't want it to stop, actually.
Oh, really?
It's not me. Like, I'm the most persuaded.
And how are the other guys? Are they all right?
Yeah, they're all good, yeah. They're all good. They're all busy. Bob's in the new band that I do now.
That's awesome, man.
So, me and him are trying that. Just shouting and yelling and throwing myself around and jumping off things, as usual, you know. Yeah. Haven't aged. Literally haven't aged.
Yeah. So if you're looking for your first signing to the label.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoosh.
Nice,
give me that Simpson millions. That's what I want. What's the plan going forward now with you? Like, what's...
It sort of is pandemic dependent, but you know, I'm just going to be releasing songs for the next foreseeable future, and then, you know, as soon as I can get back out on the road, I will. But I think just sort of not looking too far ahead than just concentrating on the next thing I'm going to release and putting that out. But I've just been really blown away by the reaction so far, so I can't wait to do more, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's gonna be good, man.
So with these recordings now, I mean, is it are you thinking of just dropping them as singles, or is there actually going to be like an album or an EP?
I think I don't know. The honest answer to that question is I don't know. There's definitely going to be more singles to come in the relatively near future. Well, there will be an album at some point, but you know, I'm trying to get out of the mindset of thinking, yeah, you know, doing an album in that way, because I think that, you know, it's nice to just sort of, for the first time, just focus on each song as it's sort of its own entity. Which is really cool. So yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing for now, and then we'll see, man.
Yeah, I mean, you are your own boss now, so you don't have to like answer all these emails unless you email yourself.
Email myself. Do more work. Fuck off. That is nice, and you know, building my own plan is nice. And as you say, I'm not beholden to anyone else. So yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I know we've reflected on like a lot of different aspects of your career and stuff, but one question I did want to ask is, I mean, like, obviously this, you do find excitement in creating new things with, you know, the studio label and going back to the solo work, but when you look at everything you've achieved in your career, do you still have like a bucket list of things that you still really want to try and achieve, or is those kind of those views changed since doing all different projects?
Yeah, I think good question. I don't really think about the sort of wider goals anymore. I think about, you know, I've been so immersed recently in sort of getting myself into the production side of things that I guess that's been my main goal recently. But yeah, I mean, my main aim will always just be to make music that I love, and then you put it out, and then you can't really think about anything else. Any other sort of success that comes after that is just a bonus, because you know, you can't control any of that stuff, so it's like all you can do is do stuff that's right by you, and then you know, share it with the world. So yeah, I guess I've been very fortunate over the last 20 years to been some amazing places and you know, do some awesome things. So yeah, I'm just very lucky to be able to have done that. But the main thing for me is just to keep happy and keep content and get up in the morning and think, yeah, I fucking hang my hat on this. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the best thing to hear, that after doing this for so long, that you're still excited just to get up in the morning and work on it.
Oh, yeah, man. And that has never gone away. And I guess if that ever did go away, then you got to think to yourself, you know, do you still want to, is there any point in doing this anymore? But, you know, I still get the butterflies every time I go on stage. I still get up and I'm just like thirsty to get a track done. And I love it. I just love it so much. So, yeah, man, that thirst is still very much there and hungry like a tiger.
Yeah. Nice. But like, so speaking of the achievements, I mean, before we did this, I was kind of thinking of certain things that I know that you've really loved from your career. And I was just thinking of things like, obviously, being able to play Reading main stage with Fightstar was such a huge thing for you, but you've been done stuff like taking Busted to Glastonbury, you were at MTV Starlight, I mean, you've won Brits Awards, you've done Warped Tour, like sold out Wembley dozens of times. Is there any other like little things that you've been able to do in your time that really stand out for you, but maybe doesn't sound as big as a deal as like a Brit Award or something like that, that you think fans...
Oh yeah, there is one thing, dude. We were played on The Simpsons. That was awesome. So like, there was a Busted song that they never play original material ever, and they played a Busted song on the actual Simpsons. And I was like,
it was
about 5 years ago, and honestly, they emailed us and they were like, "Can we use your song?" And we were like, "Yeah." And the fee wasn't even that big, but it didn't matter, because they were like, look, do you want to... Yeah. It was like, you know, it wasn't about that. It was just about the honour of being in The Simpsons. And so, I mean, I'd have paid them to do it. Do you know what I mean? It's like... it was nuts. So we watched the show and, yeah, there's a Busted song playing for like a good 30-second segment of The Simpsons. It's nuts.
Well,
it's
brilliant.
Year 3000. It's absolutely nuts. Yeah, and it's basically Bart's going to the future or whatever. And but I can't even remember the premise of it. But I was just like, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, how can that even be possible? Because they never play original music ever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's always classical music. So that was, I mean, that's quite random, but just a kind of cool thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, man. I mean, there's lots of, as you should mention, Warped Tour. That was just an incredible summer, and sad that that's gone. But you know what? You talk about aspirations. and things I'd like to do. I feel like I'd like to go and play more places. You know, I'd like to go to places I haven't. I've been to a lot of places, but I'd like to go and, you know, play a lot. You know, there's so many places in Europe that, you know, we go to the main cities, but I'd like to go and explore, play in different places, or, you know, go, never been to China, never been to India, like South America, those kind of places. I'd really like to go and do that, because I feel like that's an experience that, you know, is yet to be had. So, yeah, that'd be great.
I don't think we've asked this before to you. Like, I know we've asked it to other guests, but I don't think we've asked it to Charlie. Do you remember a time, like, I'm guessing it would have been early busted, when you were like, oh, this is it. Like, oh, I guess we're pop stars now. I guess we're rock stars now. I, you know, do you remember? Do you remember something happening, or like?
No, I remember. It was kind of weird with Busted, because it sort of went from 0 to 100 in like 5 minutes. And that was because we did a lot of TV shows. Do you remember like CDK and all those Saturday morning shows? We'd be literally on them every week for like 5 weeks running. So, yeah, I mean, that was a kind of weird thing when you get recognised in the street or whatever. But I think just sort of getting played on the radio for the first time and that kind of stuff. To be honest, it was all such a blur. I don't really remember. But yeah, it was... I just remember it happening very fast, and then it was just like, what's going on? So, it wasn't like, what's that film, That Thing You Do, that moment when they're all running around the street and the song's being played on the radio. It's like, yeah, that song's amazing. I'm sorry, that film's amazing. I love that film. But I'm sure there was a moment, but I just can't remember an actual pinpointed moment.
It's funny you bring up... more like those TV shows, though, because I'm gonna out myself here, but literally I remember vividly as a kid seeing Busted on one of these. I think you performed live on something, and my parents that day took me to Asda to buy the self-titled album.
Really?
That's
nice. That's cool parents. Cool parents.
Yeah, I'm sorry if that makes you feel old. But right. I mean,
to be honest, mate, it's like, you know, when someone was like, oh, I was really into your band when I was like 5, and they're like 27 now. That made me feel old.
There's nothing worse than, oh, I used to love you when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I tell you what's really cool, though, about I See You, is that a lot of, I got sent a lot of videos people with their kid, they've showed the song to their kids, and the kids have just loved it and put on repeat, and the videos of them sort of dancing to it, and moving around to it, and that's really special, because I remember going to see Metallica about 2 years ago, and I'd never seen them before. You know, I've been a big Metallica fan for a long time, but one of the bands I've never seen live, and I just remember James Hetfield like pointing out to this dad who had his son here, and he was like, you know, wow, that's amazing. You know, that's the second generation or third generation, fourth generation Metallica fan. But the fact is, music, you know, it lives through one generation, and then it can seep down into the next generation. So that's a really cool thing, you know, to see if a young kid comes up to me and says, oh, I really like your music. That is really cool.
Nice. Yeah. I know you said like the early Busted days in particular were quite a blur, but so over lockdown, I've been looking at videos and stuff to take breaks from work and just kind of free myself up. And I came across the MTV series you guys did years ago with America or Busted, you know, going out to the States and working over there. I mean, that, looking back at it now, in hindsight, and knowing what everything happened afterwards and going back, is it weird to think that having that experience of going out to a new country to work on something?
That wasn't a good time for me, because I'd sort of tapped out by then mentally. I haven't got the fondest memories of that period. You know, we were sort of thrust out to America and I wasn't in a great headspace then, and I didn't think that show was particularly brilliant. So yeah, that was a weird time for me. But I don't know what it had been like had I been in a good headspace then. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I'd have enjoyed it, but it was kind of weird. Like, I mean, just doing that whole, that's the sort of closest to reality TV I've been, and I really didn't like it. Do you know what I mean? I just don't like having cameras in my face like that. And yeah, no. Okay. Not good. I mean, it, no. You know, it was fine. I mean, as I say, it's difficult for me to judge because I don't think I was in mentally in the right space to be doing that.
No,
I could see you thinking about it then, and I could just be like, oh no, you just went. Yeah, no. That's fucking perfect. Oh, God, no. What have you brought up, Mark? What have you fucking reminded him of? Jesus
but
Christ.
What I was going to bring up from that, though, is just the kind of seeing how things escalate and in different countries. Because obviously I know Fightstar have had like quite a big fan base in Europe, and obviously you've done loads of stuff in the States as well. So is it...
Japan's always been good to us.
Yeah, so is it weird seeing how maybe different projects are perceived in different countries?
Yes. I haven't really thought about it like that. But yeah, yeah, I mean, it is... Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, I don't, you know, it's nice to go to Germany and or places in Europe, and obviously they might not know your history as much, or you might go to a country and they don't know you at all. So that's that was kind of cool actually. Because you know, Busted never really took off in America. So when I did the Warped Tour, I was sort of doing it as an unknown, which I actually really liked, and I would just be able to walk through the crowd every day and just get on with my own business, and that was really nice, and I really liked sort of seeing people's reactions, because I never actually, you know, I think, look back at it now, especially when Firestar started, we never played anywhere where people didn't know or have a preconception already or know me or whatever. So to actually get in and play a show where I was just looking out at blank faces and people didn't know me from Adam, I thought was really, really cool. And I enjoyed that. So, yeah. I mean, and that's what I want to do more of. You know, I want to go to more places where people, you know, I've never been before, and you can just sort of... Because that's the challenge, isn't it? You know, it's a bit like when you play a festival... It's cool playing to a home crowd, but it's cool to really get the crowd for the first time and try and engage with them. That's a really fun challenge for me and something that I really thrive on. So yeah, more of that, I think.
Nice. Is there been any kind of heavier or metal music you've checked out lately that you've been quite impressed by?
New Deftones record is brilliant. I really like the new Architect song. Nothing really new that I've heard.
Okay.
Is there anything you'd recommend?
Spirit Box.
Are they British?
Yeah. No, they're American.
American Canadian.
Female singer.
Yeah.
Screaming.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. It's very heavy. It's very good.
If you haven't checked them out, I'd recommend Loathe.
Loathe.
They'd be. Yeah.
Oh, you'd love Loathe.
You'd love Loathe.
Oh my God!
You'd love Loathe.
You've just given Charlie's new favorite band.
Yes.
Oh, Chino Marino's been tweeting about them.
Oh, Loathe. Mate, I'll check that out. Awesome.
They're from Liverpool/South Wales.
Yeah. Well,
really?
One of them's from Cardiff. One of them's from Cardiff.
That'll
the rest.
That'll do. That'll do. He's enough. That's
going to be. That's going to be the first thing I do when I put the phone down.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah, speaking of Deftones, did you see Stephen Carpenter this week has come out, said he's a flat earther.
I already knew that. But I did know that because I share the same guitar tech. But look, I love Deftones, my favourite band of all time, but that is plainly ridiculous, obviously.
When I sent Bob the article, right? I sent Bob from my band the article. I was like, oh, check this out. You love it, because he fucking loves the Deftones as well. I was like, oh, you love this now. Instantly, he replied, what a fucking idiot. No wonder he's... He went, no wonder his riffs is just zero and ones. I was like, that's the fastest turn I've ever seen you do, Bob. You literally went from, I love this band, read this, what a fucking idiot. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
I mean, they are just an outrageously good band. I mean, they're majestic.
Oh, yeah.
They are majestic, yeah. But that is, I don't think I could ever get on board with that. But,
yeah.
I mean, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's bonkers, isn't it?
It's bonkers. Bonkers is the right word.
But but as we wind down, Charlie, just a couple of other quick things before we go. Obviously, you've mentioned the writing a lot. I noticed that you've been writing for a couple of... You've done some writing for other artists over your time with like Bullet for My Valentine. Is that something you looking to do more of as well? Like kind of secret collaborating with people?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I'm... Yes, definitely. I was just finding the time. But yeah, I'd love to do collaborative writing for other artists. I find that really fun, like a different challenge to writing for your own stuff. So yeah, I mean, I prefer it when, like, when Matt rang me, Matt Tucker, was like, you know, I've got a song, do you want to work on it? Because he just thought that I could bring something to it, which I really like. I like sort of doing it with friends. But yeah, I would be open to doing it with people I don't know. But I think it's just, you just got to find the time to do that, you know?
Nice.
Cool.
And we can't leave you without asking about some beef we've seen online. Between you and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh my God, this was a shocker. So did this happen between us, me last being on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, you know, there's like moments, and politicians probably have this, where you're like, you know, something kicks off and you're like, probably going to put my phone down for like the next couple of weeks.
Oh.
Just let it, put it back in the oven. Just let it cook, let it simmer. Honestly, I'll tell you the way this happened. And I don't know if I've ever actually explained the full story in this, because it's absolutely mental. Basically, I really don't like the remake of Jumanji. I love The Rock. I love The Rock. I think he's awesome. I really do think he's an awesome guy. Yeah. You know, I like him. But I wasn't a fan of the remake. A big fan of the original. Thought the original with Robin Williams was an incredible film. I saw the new one, and I actually saw it when I was in the studio with the Busted Guys. And I was just like, we've all got our own opinions, and I really didn't like it. And so anyway, the number two was coming out, and he was doing a press junket or whatever, and he was tweeting some people, and a fan tweeted me being like, oh, Charlie, this made me think of you. It's the second Jumanji. So I basically didn't even see. I saw, and I just replied saying, oh, I wonder if it will be the second worst movie ever made. and put my phone down. And I thought, you know, I thought I was just tweeting back a fan.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like about 2 hours later, my phone just started melting. Like tweets going off the scale. I think I was in bed at the time, because I wasn't actually in England. I was in Kenya, because my wife's family from Kenya, and I was over there on holiday, and I was like, why are all these tweets coming through with The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson tagged in them? And I was like, and I'd suddenly transpired that he had tweeted back to me, putting him on copy, and he'd obviously seen it. So then he was like, why don't we get in a room and fucking have it out? And I'm like, whoa. That escalated very quickly. But it was completely, I did not mean to cause offense to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And as I say, I think he seems like the most lovely guy, and I'm a big fan of his. I just really didn't like the movie. So, you know, had I known that he was on copy, I would not have said that quite so directly. But, you know, suddenly, mate, and then suddenly, like it was all in the papers, and like fucking The Sun was writing stories about it. And yeah. I was like, what is going on, man?
I can't wait till you have to fight the future president of the United States. Maniac. Dwayne, if you're listening, we need WrestleMania in April. We can have Charlie versus The Rock. Oh, what an event. Yeah, you can play yourself out. That's what you can be, your own intro music. Double bubble. Oh, nice.
It was
I
crazy.
Couldn't get over that. When I heard about you and The Rock having an argument. even just saying a sentence is making me laugh. Oh, my fucking God. That's brilliant. Thank you. Excellent. Thank you for doing this, Charlie. Mate, it's a fucking
I love it, man. Honestly, any time for you guys.
No, thank you.
Cool.
Yeah.
We call it tomorrow then. Same time tomorrow.
No, but seriously, man, it's always a pleasure, you know, just chatting to you and everything. So thank you so much for taking the time. I think you were one, like, definitely when we started, you were one of the most requested guests. And then after having you on the first time, I think people just really liked that episode. So yeah, just.
Well, big up Sappening audience. And yeah, awesome. Awesome podcast. Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Do me a favour, give Matt Willis a poke for me and see if he'll.
Yeah, I will.
Because he's got a podcast, so come on our podcast and talk about his podcast.
Unless he's like, he doesn't want to cross pollinate podcasts, I don't know, but yeah, I'm sure he'll.
Just come on ours and steal our fans. I'm not asking to come on his. That's fine.
Yeah, I'll give him a poke, mate.
But yeah, thank you so much for doing this, and as always, fucking awesome. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
When I'm next down in Wales, man, we'll get together and
yes. Please, let's.
Yes, please.
Let's. We get fucking Morgan steaming.
Oh, yeah, God.
Steam. Oh, my God, alive.
I'm scared.
Awesome. Tight D.
All right, dudes. Nice one, man.
You're listening to Sapping Podcast.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. What a guy. What a beautiful, beautiful soul and incredible musical mind. And just overall, wonderful chap.
Oh, all round good egg. Yeah, well, that's what I love about it. What I love about ours and Charlie's relationship is the fact that we couldn't be from two further worlds. Like, we couldn't be. But yet we get on like house on fire. Like, the moment we saw him was just exciting. The moment he turned his camera on, and then he was like, look how long my hair is. And he was super excited to show us how long his hair was. And yeah, it was just such a fucking good time. And every time I see Charlie, I come away smiling and feeling better for it. So, as always, thank you very much to Charlie for being such an awesome human, for the great music and the fantastic times we've spent together. This was a treat. This was a real treat. And I'm glad that we got to do it for the birthday episode as well, because he has been one of our favourite and funniest guests we've had. So if you haven't checked out the previous Charlie episode, please go back. It was very much one of the early ones. We spoke to him in Cardiff Motorpoint Arena while he was there with Busted. And then on our Slam Dunk special, we spoke to Charlie again. And Charlie was, as you would have known from the interview you just listened to, he was a little bit tipsy. And he dropped some C-bombs on us as well, didn't he?
He did, which was hilarious. But no, it's always...
They were as surprising as they were unwanted.
But it's always a pleasure and a treat with Charlie. I mean, I know, it goes without saying how much his music has impacted me growing up with it from all the different projects and stuff as it is. And, you know, it's really awesome to see the relationship grow between the two of us and him over the years as well. So, yeah, thanks again, Charles, for taking time out to come on. Obviously, please go and check out his brand new single I See You that is available on all platforms now. Have a mosh to Fight Star stuff, because every single record they released is absolutely fantastic, and you know you love to sing along to Busted songs. And I'm really looking forward to see what comes next with all of it really. It's gonna be very, very interesting. I might see if he'll sign Mo Dick to his label.
I don't think he needs it. I don't think, yes.
He doesn't need
I
that.
I don't know, Morg. I don't
he doesn't
know.
Need that pressure, yeah, does he?
Need that evil.
No, yeah, he doesn't need that pressure. My demands are through the roof.
Thing is, as we now know, he's going to bring out his own rap project, so I don't think he's going to need to sign Mo Dick when he's got Charlie Sims. Oh, I'm trying to think about Chaz.
Chaz Simpo.
That sounds like a rap name. Chaz Simpo. Little Chaz, Little Simp, Little Simp. No, not Little Simp.
No.
You can't be called Little Simp in this day and age, can you? What about Big Cuck? No, you can't be called Cuck. Charlie. Anyway, let's hope he signs Raiders. But also, yes, what an absolute beautiful human. And yeah, I can't believe you've got 2 years, bro. This is nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, literally. It's just mind-blowing to see how far everything's come on as well. And, you know, not to be emo again, but we're just super grateful and we do appreciate it. I know we make a lot of jokes about things, and I know we mention Patreon and all that quite a lot, but we wouldn't be here if it wasn't without every single person listening's help and support. And
guaranteed.
Putting it in your Instagram stories and sharing stuff, retweeting. Like, honest to God, that helps us more than you could ever know. So with these celebrations, let's just go absolutely mad. Let's have a good time. Share it with your friends. Put it every single place you can. And let's spread the word of these positive, positive episodes.
Yeah. So, yeah, please, if you can share this, please share it any way you can. It genuinely does help. The more eyes on it, the better. If you wanted to get us a birthday present for this, we will accept shares and likes and good reviews, please. If you didn't get anything for my birthday December 29th last year, which I know the majority of you didn't, I wouldn't mind some shares and retweets of this podcast. So please do that for me. I would like that very much. I appreciate you greatly.
Yes, and always remember to give us a follow on the social media at Sapman Pod on Twitter and Instagram if you're not already. I'm going to try and spell it at SAPPENINPOD. Fucking nailed it in your face. Give us a follow, give us a message.
Do it again.
SAPPENINPOD.
You missed the at, but yeah.
You've got to do it at least twice, right? Because it's like if someone goes, right, phone me now on 07971, blah, 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 right? You're always like, what? I got the first five or six. You're going to have to do it again.
At SAPPENINPOD. Give us a message and ask us some questions. If you're wondering how the fuck have they reached 2 years, we will answer that and reply with some funny gifts.
Yeah, also send us questions like, is now that Morgan started doing the at and spelling the podcast name, are there any more jobs left for Sean? That would be a good question. The answer's no. So, at Happening Pod, give us a shout. Give us an idea of who you'd like for a guest. The more out of the box, the better. The stranger, the better. Because guess what? I would love Fred Durst on. I would love Mark Hoppus on. I would love Billy Joe from Green Day on. I'd love Jimmy, the old man who fronts Metallica, on, right? But these are all massive stars who we have approached and either haven't got back to us or will do in the future, apparently. Any out-of-the-box ones that you thought or maybe we haven't thought about? They don't have to be in bands. They could work for bands. They could be comedians. They could be on TV. They could be in film. They could be sports stars. Anything. Just, we are up for having a chat and getting the behind the scenes of any way of life. So please have a think. Get in touch with us at Happening Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, well said. So I'm going to put this out there right now, Sean. Over the next year, between this and our third year anniversary, is there anything you would absolutely love to try and do in that time? Is there any little goals you've got?
I want a Daryl Palumbo podcast. He mm-hmm. was the singer of Glassjaw, Head Automatica as well. I would love him to come on the podcast. I would like a Fred Durst. I think that would be really good.
Obviously, yes.
I don't know. I just for the podcast to keep growing, I guess, and grow. I don't even know. Growing's right. Going. Just going. And just I'm happy. I'm happy where it is. Yeah, I just want to keep going. And bro, I wasn't expecting to get this far. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The fact you've that we get this far is fucking insane.
You've said many a time you didn't think we'd get this far. But no, like for me, it's just making more people laugh, making more people have a good time, escape from their day-to-day problems of the world and everything, and just have a laugh, innit? That's at the end of the day, we all want to have a little chuckle.
We've done 100 more episodes than I thought we'd do.
What, you thought we'd do four?
I thought we'd do four. I thought we'd do like one of all of the Blackout together, then just struggle to get friends. Yeah, just because when the Blackout ended, it was so abrupt that I was like, oh, I wonder if any of my friends will want to talk to me. Do they even remember me anymore? So yeah, the fact that we've done 100, this is episode 104, that's absolutely bonkers to me. And the fact that we've got quite a few interviews backlogged as well and like in the system is bonkers. But we are considering putting out some of them on our Patreon wall as Patreon gifts, as bonus content, because some of them are too good, I think, to not use, because some of them we had to chop down to use for festival episodes. So we'll consider that. But 104 episodes, can't believe we've done it. Well done to you, Bert. Well done to you. I'm not being sarcastic, just well done to you for putting up with me.
Oh, wow, thank you.
That's a fucking feat in itself, so well done.
No,
also, last week you did a podcast with our friend Sophie Eggleton as well.
Oh, yes.
That I think people should check out. So, what was the name of the podcast?
So basically the wonderful Sophie Eggleton, who does a lot of social media work and a bit of journalism and everything, has got a mental health podcast called Play, Pause, Repeat. That's Play, Pause, Repeat. And she asked me to appear on their recent episode to talk about my battle with dyslexia as a journalist, podcaster and former radio host. So, opened up quite a bit on that. I talked a lot about some struggles. I don't usually put in like the kind of public eye because I've never really wanted to use dyslexia as an excuse for anything. So if that's interesting to anyone, go and check that out.
Yeah, do go and check it out. Very interesting indeed.
Isn't it mad though? Yeah. Ain't it mad? It's got to the point where I'm going on other people's podcasts. Like, people want to fucking talk to me about stuff. Like, what's that about?
I was upset when I found out you were doing it. I was going to get in touch with Sophie and go, well, when you ask me about Morgan's dyslexia, get me on. I don't know. Yeah, she goes, oh, right, so Morgan suffers from dyslexia. Does he?
That explains all the fucking wrong texts.
That does explain some tweets, but, interesting. Anyway, got to go, Soph. And yeah, the episode's like 2 minutes long. Oh, I didn't even know he's dyslexic. I'll go ask him. But yeah, congratulations on you for doing it. And yeah, go and check that out, everyone. Yes.
Right. Yes, well, we've got here the end of episode 104. But before we go, obviously, we need to say a massive thank you not only to all of you for listening and getting this far and putting up with us for the last 2 years, but a biggest amount of love possible to every single person that's ever been in our Patreon community. Again, without them, this wouldn't happen. I know we go on about it, but they are literally the lifeline of Sapnin Podcast. So, I love you. Sean loves you. Thank you very, very much. If you check out the description of this episode, there's a heap of names that we say thank you to. But Sean is now going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of that Sapnin Podcast Patreon community. And as always, they've probably changed their names to something funny, to have a laugh, to poke some fun. And let's find out what those crazy, crazy ideas are this week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thank you very much, you absolute set of diamonds, to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Mitch Perry, Sarah James has put the name, surname stupid, forename I Yam.
Ah.
So the name there is Sarah is stupid, or I Yam. I Yam, and then that surname. Thank you very much to Janelle Caston, Emma Barber, Kelly Young Loves Amadine Urbano, Nathan Croshaw, Morgan Wants to Fight Sean Smith Mortal Kombat Style, Liam Connolly, Michael Engler, Scooby Drew Styles, Morgan Wants to Fight Loz Taylor and Matt Welsh in a paddling pool of jelly.
That wouldn't be a fight though, would it? I mean, I don't.
Yeah, but that's not somebody's name. I'm just saying what you told me earlier before we started recording. Anyway, thank you very much to Kelly Owen, Kat Besant, Amadine Urbana, Tony Michael, Morgan Wants to Fight Matt Riddle, bro. Uh-oh. Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, Morgan Wants to Wrestle Andy Williams, fact. Thank you very much to Suckle My Nipples, Morgan Wants to Fight Stuart Richardson, that's a bad idea, Simon Amos, happy second birthday, love you guys, that's from Jodie Shannon, thank you very much Jodie, Jenny, Sappy Number 2, you daft twats, Munster, Kate Stevenson, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, Dana Lasnova, Martina McManus, Kelly Morgan Wants to Fight Joel Birch Mallory, no you don't need Killu. Erin, Howard, John and Emma, I like these all, Becky, Andy, Marcy Jacobson, Louis Cook, Jason Heredia, Nuala Clark, Jenny Robinson, Sandra Kuchek, Mike Cunningham, Kelly Cannon, Kevin Clark, Phil Me Balls, James McNaught, Livy Cropper, Tallulah Grant, don't laugh, you fucking child, Stuart, Mark Andrews, Matt Atard, and Si Martin McNaught. I don't know what he's done there. Sharif Awadali, Lydia Henderson, Craig Top Off or Bottom Off Harris, Adam Parslow, Julia, get it fucking right, Joan Ravitch. Yes, she spelled it correct. Well, she's made it readable by me now. Thank you, Julia Ravitch, Alice Wood, Joshua Crisp, and by last and no means least, the wonderful Keris Andrews. Thank you very much, so much to those people. We love you. You're such a good laugh. Thanks for being such absolute superstars to each other and to us. Like, thank you for the support. Yeah, the support for us is amazing. The support you do for each other is out fucking standing, right? It's unbelievable. It's something we never ever expected, and it makes me well up with love for all you guys. So thank you very, very much for your support. We appreciate you greatly.
We do. We love every single one of you. Thank you for being you. You are the reason we do this. But just to clear up, right? If you're not used to this part of the podcast, the whole me wanting to fight people was something I've said on one previous episode, that I mentioned someone I was fight if they were going to pick on Sean. I said I would defend Sean, basically. I haven't revealed who I would want to fight, and I'm not going to, but I would just like to say there's no way in hell I would fight Stu or Joel or While She Sleeps or Matt Riddle or any of them, because I would die.
Yeah, you would. I'm sorry to say that, but you would.
I would. I know it's true.
There's absolutely no hope for you in any of those situations whatsoever.
No. The last thing I want is Stu mad at me as well, because he's literally one of the nicest guys of all time. And if he was mad at me, I think I'd probably cry.
Yeah, but you've also seen him, where he looks like a fucking upside-down triangle of muscles.
Yes, I know.
Like, he could literally squash your head, I reckon.
Yeah. That wouldn't even take him much energy.
No.
Hardly
anything. Anyway, thank you again, as always, to everybody. If you got this far, let us know by tweeting at us the word... what can we say? Sappy birthday? Hashtag sappy birthday.
Yeah, because it's...
sound like saps.
Well, has been quite sappy, to be honest, so...
That is true. Sappy birthday. Hashtag sappy birthday. Right. See you all guys next week, hopefully, if we don't die between now and then. Hopefully we won't.
Fingers
keep
crossed.
Tongues out. Fingers crossed. If I do, are we at a lobby? Oh, my God. I've got tweets scheduled for the future, so it looks like I'm tweeting from the grave. Anyway, right. I got to go. Right. Thank you very much, everyone. We love you. Cheers. Morgan, I love you. Cheers. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.